Garrett Ilsen here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. On this episode of Celeb Savant, I'll be speaking to South African electro-hop music duo Identical Twin Brothers Andrew and Brian Chaplin, who formed the band Lockenville in Cape Town, South Africa in 2009. The twins are singers, songwriters, song producers, and musicians, in addition to being guitarists, drummers, and business entrepreneurs. Since their debut studio album, The Sun in My Pocket, was released in February 2010, they have released hit after hit and album after album, which have consistently climbed the charts. Please note that when we recorded this interview, Andrew was in Berlin, Germany at a coffee shop. So the background noise that you hear is the revelers in the background enjoying their coffee on a Sunday afternoon in Berlin, Germany. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Andrew and Brian from Lockenville. Where do we find you guys? What's happening in your world and how are you doing?
Well, I'm calling from Cape Town, South Africa at the moment, and I am very much living dad life at the moment. I just had a newborn about 3 weeks ago, so very much in dad life. And Drew's out in Berlin, which I'm sure he'll tell you now.
So I'm in Berlin right now. I'm busy working with some artists over here. I'm actually busy currently working on a solo EP for myself. And we've done some amazing studio sessions and it's going to be released probably within the next 2 or 3 months. And I'm excited to see what everyone thinks of it.
So first of all, Brian, congratulations. Mazel tov for the newborn baby.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So now, guys, let's take it all the way back to the very beginning. So the Lockenville hybrid or non-hybrid musical journey story. Tell us when you guys got motivated to join the music industry or in the entertainment world, and tell us your journey and your story.
Yeah, well, it's a fine question. I mean, both of us started very young. I think the main point that we each got started like with music sort of in a kind of way that it was sort of turning into something was when we were like 6 years old. Both of us got a guitar for Christmas. We started writing some songs. We obviously looked up to people that were sort of happening at the time. And then we just sort of went through genres. We used to be like hard metal guys. We went through like a whole rap phase and everything like that. And then we recorded an album called Make Waves in 2005, if I'm not mistaken. And that was sort of the first sound of Lockenville. And then we recorded a follow-up album, which we actually called Retro Electro. And we submitted the single Sun in My Pocket to a whole bunch of radio stations. It kind of really just did its own thing. And then we got contacted by Just Music, who signed us, and so on, so on. But that's in a very, very small nutshell. That's essentially how it all started.
It was beating on a lot of doors.
I think that's everyone goes through the beating of the doors. I know that feeling. Knock, 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 slam shut. Knock, 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 slam shut until one opens.
Exactly.
That's exactly,
The name Lockenville, explain. For the people who don't know, the story behind the name.
Right. So for a long time, we sort of wanted to keep it a bit of a mystery, just because I felt like it was a little bit difficult to explain to people, but we're way past that now. So essentially it's the blend of two words, because we were born in the States and raised in South Africa. Obviously both the States and South Africa hold a big significance in our life. And so the Lochan part was to represent South Africa, and it came from Lochan culture, which was that clothing brand back in the day. So it was basically, instead of L-O-X-N, it was L-O-C-N.
Okay.
And then the Ville was for all of the different Villes that you get throughout the state. So it was Lochanville.
Oh, okay.
Locationville. Locationville is essentially what it means.
Oh, okay. But now, how did that name come to you?
it was divine intervention. It was just one of those things where we were playing around with a whole bunch of names. And we were specifically choosing things that were relevant to us at the time. So specifically the Ville part was because there was Shady Ville, which was Eminem's clothing brand that had just come out.
Okay.
And we were big, big fans of it. And then so basically once we had that name, the Larkinville name, we also realized that it was the only word like it out there. So if you were to ever Google it, we'd be the only thing that ever came up, which was also very important to us.
Yeah. That's very clever. I've seen you guys opening. I remember seeing you opening for Enrique, I think it was, and for Justin Bieber when he was in South Africa, before we dive into what you love about performing. But what's the difference for you about opening for an artist and headlining your own show?
Well, I can definitely say that the big difference is just like restrictions. If it's your own show and you're the headliner, then it's like anything goes, kind of. But when you're doing an opening thing, especially for like major acts like Enrique and Justin Bieber and stuff like that, they obviously have a sort of idea in their mind about how the show is going to go and like where all the attention needs to be. So I remember, like, as an example, when we were doing the Enrique opening, they had like a big sort of ramp going out into the crowd where you could walk.
Yeah.
And so during our performance, it was just there. We were playing the music and singing and everything. So we were just like walking on the stage, like saying what's up to everyone. And then, you know, some people came like, yo, you can't use that.
It was in our in-ear monitors. One of the guys was in our in-ear monitors. We were trying to sing.
Yes.
And this guy's in our in-ear monitors saying,
and he was like, get off. Yeah, the ramp. Exactly.
I don't understand. Why couldn't you use the ramp?
Because it has to be the moment for the main act.
Oh, my word.
Exactly.
Okay, let's not get into that.
So basically what I mean by restrictions, like when you're doing an opening thing, you have to always keep in mind that you are the opener, and the guy that's, or the lady for that matter, that's coming after you is the main act, and everything that's there is for them, not for you.
And also, you know, one of the big things about being the opener is your bass and everything like that, like all the big things that the crowds love is all cut well in advance, so they only turn up that bass and give the subs the full power once the main artist comes on. So you know, when you're the warm-up act, and especially us, I mean, our music is filled with low end and big heavy beats, so it's always a little bit disappointing when you have to play them and you're listening to it and you just know it's not quite there.
You just have to find the right person to bribe.
Exactly.
And don't you also find sometimes, though, I mean, you guys are well known in South Africa and, you know, across Europe and that. But don't you also find sometimes when you're first starting out, you have to try win over the audience because they're there for the main artist and it's like, oh, it's opening act, you know, like finish up. We want to see the main person. I don't know if you ever felt that more in the beginning was, you know, when Justin that was, yeah, you were really well known. So the audience really knew you. But in the beginning stages of opening for those artists, was it ever that situation? Oh, like, I feel like I need to win over these people.
You know, I think we were actually really blessed to only have been opening for those artists once we already had a little bit of a name going.
Yes.
So in terms of opening for the bigger artists, you know, we were very lucky to have people that knew the music. But in the beginning, I mean, I remember, yeah, now we're talking really, really in the beginning. I remember we played a show and at that time we were opening up for, it was like A-King or Van Gogh Cartel. It was one of those bands, and we're definitely in the mindset like, wow, we've got some work to do, because the crowd was there to see them 100%. And we walked on and nobody knew the music, and the crowd reception was really cold. I remember it wasn't a great crowd reception. There were a few people, we had a lot of technical difficulties. Yeah, we had technical difficulties. I mean, it was awful. I remember we walked off that stage. We were like, wow, that didn't go so well. And then luckily, it only about a few months after that, it started getting some love. And so the whole dynamic changed quite quickly after that.
When a situation like that happens, whether it's in the beginning or even when you guys are popular and headlining, and you're sort of not feeling it, or the energy's not there, is it a process of, okay, cool, brush it off, it's just that moment that's passed, the next time we'll focus more on this or that? Or does it allow you to feel negative or get you down?
Of course it can get you down. Absolutely. I mean, because you have to remember that Larkinville was not our first project. We've done a myriad of projects since Larkinville, or or pre-Lochinvar kind of becoming a known name and everything like that. So we did a bunch of like really horrible shows, you know, like performing to people that had no idea who we were. And of course, everyone's kind of like telling us like, yo, put on a good show, everything like this. And so when you do give your all, like you're trying to essentially win over the people. But then there's like sound difficulties and the people are just kind of like staring at you, like really drunk and stuff like that. It's like, of course, we've had situations where both of us went home and we were like, we're just going to quit, you know, why would we put ourselves through this? But then, you know, it takes a day or two to kind of, you know, build each other up. And it's like, these things happen. It's like no success story that I've ever heard of didn't have, you know, little lapses along the way.
You mentioned you had pre-acts before Lochinvar. So tell us a little bit more about those and what happened to them. Was it again just the two of you, or were there other people involved?
It was always, we were always kind of the ones who sort of had this, had some sort of idea between us. I mean, honestly, as far back as 6 years old, we had a group that we called the Black Barracudas, and I'm pretty sure we were like the Space Boys at some point. I mean, I honestly, we went through a myriad of
Exit. Names. Yeah, you can't remember, you can't forget Exit and Three.
Exit, yeah. Exit was our pride and joy when we were about 13. So yeah, I mean, we've been through a whole bunch of different styles. But I think the Lochinvar one, where we sort of married the what we really intended it to be, was a sort of marriage of pop and the way that the song was constructed was sort of what we thought was a sort of rock construction to the song. And I think that when we blended those two elements, that was when we started getting people saying, hey, this is really nice, we like this. And then we kind of stuck to that sound.
Now, during your Lochinvar career, you've collaborated with a lot of different local and international artists. How is that process, bringing that energy into the room, when compared to you guys, you know, you've known each other your whole lives, obviously, since you were born. But when you bring that third or fourth element into the room, is it a freshness? Do you have to get used to it? Tell us about that process and how do you choose those people?
I was going to say, it depends who it is, but Drew yeah, can take that one.
Yeah, well, I have to agree with Brian there. It really does depend, because at least from my view, we've had very different situations in that sort of situation. We've had some kind of collaborations where we've expected something to be really easy and free flowing, where maybe it hasn't been. And then other times we've had sessions where, you know, it was more just to like kind of get people off our back and then like do something. And then it actually ended up turning out really well. So yeah, I wouldn't say that there's any one thing, but to answer your question, yes, there's absolutely a different vibe. I mean, obviously when Brian and I are in the studio, it's very, very comfortable. Like you said, we've known each other since we were like in the room. So sometimes it can be a little bit, different when you get other people into the studio. They have their own workflow. Sometimes, I know for me, like I can feel a little bit apprehensive if I don't like something to actually say I don't like something. So yeah, in my experience, I would say to do collaborations and stuff like that, it's much easier to sort of get what you want done before the session, rather than trying to kind of get it all together there, because you're still sort of in that introduction phase, if yeah. I can say that.
So your journey process of creating from zero to a 3 to 4 minute song, what is that process? Is it different each time? Is it easy each time? So the musical creative journey of Lochinvar.
It varies track to track, but I would say generally speaking, it would start with a beat. So very, very rarely will we start with an actual song with a lyrical idea. It'll normally start with a beat. And then we will throw around a few ideas. Sometimes it happens really, really quickly. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes we come up with something and love it at the time and listen to it a week later and hate it and rework it. So it's very, very different track to track. But I would say for the most part, when we decide that it is, you know, sometimes something will just come out the blue and then you'll put that down. But for the most part, we would say, okay, we're getting ready to write an album. You know, we want to make something like this. And then it would come down to the beat. And then we write the song afterwards.
And what motivates those lyrics? Personal experiences, what's happening in the world, combination of both?
Yeah, I would say a combination of all of the above. Definitely everything comes from personal experience. You know, it all comes from somewhere personal. Sometimes if it's more of a storytelling thing, then maybe you can kind of take a little bit from experiences that you've lived with other people. But it always ultimately does come from personal experience. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about I understand you guys have a record label. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Correct. Yeah. So I would say even more than a record label, I would say it's like an entertainment hub. The company actually started as a sort of rights holder for our rights. So when we actually started submitting music to radio and everything like that, we were very, very careful to be registered with all the right societies and have the company registered like RESA and have our ISRC codes and everything like that. And this was like far before anything really happened. So that company existed probably from 2005, something like that. And that was called Contraband. And so ever since we first launched, we've only ever licensed our rights out to labels. So that publishing company then turned into the record label that is now CBGSB. So it's just a company holding that has track record in the business. We obviously have a lot of firsthand experience of what, you know, being with the labels like, what releasing music's like, talking to the media, blah, 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 everything like that. So we just wanted to kind of build the label that I guess we wanted when we first started, which is to always have an immediate point of call and have people that have experience in the game. So if you come to them with questions or whatever, they can answer from like an honest, authentic standpoint. And I think that's what we provide. We only work with people that we really believe in. We get submissions all the time. I would say 0.0001% of those we actually end up doing something with. But that's the history behind how the label started. It was essentially just a company to hold our own rights.
What in that 0.01% do you see or feel that makes you think, I want to work with that person?
It's actually interesting you asked that question, because I got asked that question like literally about 2 days ago. And I've got a very real answer. We hear stuff all the time, and it's not that it's bad.
Yeah.
Like a lot of it's really good. But at the end of the day, you know, we're putting up our own money to invest in these things, and obviously as a business you have to accept that whatever money you put in might be a loss or it could be a recoupment, you know, as any business works. So I would say for me, it's finding something that is truly unique. And one of my best examples is a rapper that we signed semi-recently that goes by the name of Bims. And what really, really grabbed me about him is I've heard a lot of kind of trap stuff, and a lot of it's really good. A lot of it's got really good beats. The guys have really good flows and everything like this. But he had a completely different story. Like he wanted his first single to be in Afrikaans and things like this. And I just thought that was so unique that it's almost like how can we not do something? And then for example, Anika Kiana, we knew her personally because she worked on one of our records. And when you stand in the same room as her and you hear her sing, it's just undeniable. Like, it's just like, this is a major, major talent. This is definitely going to go somewhere. Yeah? And if we can be any part of that process, then it's...
I recently interviewed another twin brother duo from Germany called Amistad. They're a folk band. And I asked them this question and it made me laugh. And I'm going to ask you this question, because they're twin brothers. And in fact, they're exact same age as you guys. And I said to them, and this is a question to you, do you guys get on outside of the music, or do you fight? Because with Joe and Jan and Joseph, they were like, no, they've got completely different sets of opinions. But when it comes to the music, they're in the same place. But everything out of that, they like fight all the time. So with you guys, what is the dynamics?
I think for the most part, I mean, we get along. I mean, obviously, yes, we do fight sometimes. I think definitely in the earlier stages, because, you know, when we first started out and when everything was sort of taking off, we lived in the same house with each other. We were playing the same shows together. We were on the road together. I mean, we were just always together, and there was constantly people. It was a pretty crazy time. So I think during that time, we did get into a few disagreements. I think most of it was just that we were a bit overwhelmed on everything. Sometimes when it came to music, we'd have disagreements, but nothing too crazy. These days, obviously, our lives have kind of taken us to different places. But so actually now I would say maybe in some respects we get along better now, because now when we do make music and we do meet up, it's like, oh, I haven't seen you in, you know, a year and a half or whatever the case may be. So yeah. But I mean, to answer the question, we do have disagreements, but I would say for the most part, we get along well, we work well together. So yeah, touch wood, I'm really blessed for that.
Andrew, so you now working on this sort of solo project, which is coming out shortly, and then are you guys going to then do stuff together thereafter? Or what's next for Lochinvil or you guys individually?
It's a very good question. It's like Lochinvil still exists. It's a project that Brian and I hold very close to our hearts. In fact, we have a track coming out. It's our first track that we've released like as a real Lochinvil project, probably in like, I'm not even joking, maybe like 2 or 3 years or something like that. And I don't necessarily think it's like a major hit or anything like that. That wasn't our intention. It was just to like actually get something out there. We had this track sort of sitting in the arsenal for a little bit. And we were like, why don't we just kind of, you know, get it out there? We also have a lot of tracks that we wrote maybe a year or so ago that we're still going to work on and put out. So Lochinvil is still there, but of course, due to our personal situations, we find ourselves in like different places in life. And I personally have to respect my brother's life. Like my brother's a dad too now, you know? So it's like I can't just like call him and, you know, in like midnight and say, yo, like record a verse or something like that. it's just different. So the reason why I'm doing my own personal thing is over and beyond what I do in other spheres of business, I'm still making music. I'm still inspired, especially like with all the travels that I've been doing, you know, over the past year and a half or whatever. It's a great outlet for me to, basically what I'm trying to say is like it's still, I guess, a habit of mine to like make music.
Yeah.
So I'm pursuing my own sort of production project where I'm not going to like sing on anything. It's basically just working with other artists from production level, from a vocalist kind of level, and making it a very international project. That's the idea behind it. But Lochinvil is still coming out with music. It's still going to get there. It might just take a bit of time.
So are you now based overseas, or you're just traveling and then coming back to Cape Town once you finish traveling?
You know, I wish I could answer that question myself. I've actually been sort of living as a quote-unquote digital nomad for maybe a year now. It's been a wild experience. So I don't necessarily live anywhere.
Okay.
I'm sort of just like hopping from place to place, doing what I do. And it's been insanely exciting. It's been nerve-wracking. It's been a major life experience. And I think that'll definitely shine through in a lot of the new stuff that we're doing.
Okay, cool. So you'll just have to see where you land eventually.
Pretty much.
I'm going to put you both on the spot. I love playing this game, and one of you is going to have time to think, but it won't be much time. The recipients don't always love doing it. I know if I asked you each this question in 2 minutes, 2 days, 20 days, I know that your answer will be different each time. But if I had to ask first you, Brian, your top 5 songs by other artists that you play in this moment, what would those songs be?
Okay, so I like a lot of Kid Laroi stuff at the moment. Thousand Miles Away by Kid Laroi is a good one for me, as well as his latest one, Love Me Again. I love quote unquote chill lounge music. I don't know exactly what the genre would be, but there's a few artists that I can't think of off the top of my head, but there's a few good chill lounge songs. But I'd say in terms of songs and artists, Post Malone, Kid Laroi. I'm very song driven. You know, my sort of passion lies in writing songs. So I've been enjoying a lot of that stuff. So yeah, 5 songs. I'm beating around the bush here. Love Me Again. A Thousand Miles Away. let's say Circles by Post Malone, Goodbye by Post Malone, and then just I'll throw in an old one there. It's Been a While by Staind. It's a classic of mine that I've played for years.
Okay. Andrew, over to you, your top five. You had time to think.
I did have time to think, and I actually had time to go like look in my Apple Music here. And to be honest, you know, I can't necessarily say there's like, you know, top five songs or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's definitely styles of music that I've really, really gotten into lately. One of the artists that I really found very interesting is a lady named Rosalía from Spain,
mm-hmm.
Who's been doing actually really, really well around the world. There's also an Italian group, like a rock group that won Eurovision last year or the year before or something called Maneskin.
Yes.
I thought that they were really interesting.
Yeah.
Their whole kind of like visual appeal and sound and everything like that. Other than that, I've been really jamming Cairo, who's a South African DJ, big in the sort of Afro house scene. And I think his music is fantastic from production level, just absolutely beautiful. Obviously Anika Kiana is a favorite of mine. And yeah. And then also actually a Serbian duo that I discovered through my girlfriend actually. And it's a group called Dolores. And
okay.
it's kind of like indie pop kind of stuff, but it's really, really cool.
I like those. I'm going to add those to my list. Just to finish off, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. The main listening audience is actually the USA, UK, Australia, then South Africa and Sweden. So as a final message to the listening audience, to you first, Brian, what would you like to say?
Well, I would like to say, first of all, thank you for listening. If you don't know about us, please do yourself a favor and go check out the music. Let us know what you think. Get hold of us on socials and everything. And if anybody does want to follow us on socials, it's at LOCNVILLE on everything. And yeah, if you know us, thank you very much. If you don't know us, then very nice to meet you. And please go check it out.
Andrew.
There's really not much I can add to that. Again, for everyone who's been supporting us through the years, thank you very much. For anyone who we're new to, welcome. And I hope you enjoy what we do. There's going to be a lot coming from both of us, including myself, from a solo position. So yeah, stay tuned and hope you enjoy.